Tales from the Wild. Stories from the heart. A journey into the mind and soul of fired-up business professionals where they share their vision for the future. And hear from a different nonprofit organization every month as they create awareness of their goals and their needs. Dive into a world of untamed passion as we join our host, Shireen Buerta, for this month's episode of Friends from Wild Places.
You asked a very good question early on about divorce and why do you think people find it easier to divorce than to try and fix something that's broken? Why do you think that?
So I'm going to only speak from my perspective.
Right.
That's all I have, right? I'm not a trained therapist. I don't have enough knowledge or education. I have experience. Let's just say that I have experience in this area, but not formal education. Okay. So let's just say, so divorce, I'm going to share with you. I was married at the age of 18, and then I was married at the age of 24. Okay. And I think we sometimes, you know, you meet somebody, especially like in a culture that it's not an arranged marriage. So somebody that we picked out for ourselves at that time. Sometimes I think what you lacked growing up or what you didn't maybe quote unquote have, if now you have a partner that is flattering you or buying things or, you know, I don't want to say false. It's not false gifts, but false like meaning behind it. Like you buy into that, like whatever that is in the culture, whether it's, I don't know, in the United States, it would be like roses and, you know, flowers and gifts, like tangible gifts. Is that what happens in South Africa with dating? Is that common? You did the same thing over there.
Some people give gifts. Some people just spend time. Yeah, it's a whole different languages of love, I guess. Yeah.
Love language. Yeah, that's a great assessment to take for those listeners out there. And it's free. It's online. It's the love languages. So I think so in my perspective, what I believe happens is if you are attracting a partner, like, so let's go to the word codependency, right? So if people grew up codependent with maybe their parents or their siblings, and now they're of age that they start getting interested in relationships and partners, it's very common for codependent people to pick people that are narcissists. It's almost like a magnet. Right. And what happens is that prophecy fulfills itself to where one person is always trying to please the other. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like the stakes become higher and higher and higher to where one person, it's like giving and giving and giving and trying to make themselves more attractive. Or, you know, some cultures, it's like, you know, more curvy, and other cultures, it's skinnier, and other cultures, it's bigger. So whatever that looks like in everyone's individual culture, we strive to be better. And then if you have a person that is more of the narcissistic tendency to where they start cheating on you, right? And then all of a sudden you really feel less than, and you feel like, wow, look, I must be bad if somebody is going to find a partner outside of our relationship. So then that fuels, and that jealousy is horrible. I mean, I don't know if you've ever experienced jealousy, Shireen, in an interpersonal relationship, but it's all consuming. It is literally like all consuming. And you try to find out the reason why and how, and you spend all of your energy trying to fix and make it better, right? So I think to sometimes from my perspective, I can say that the breakdown of communication, especially for our listeners that have been wronged in relationships, we spend so much time trying to figure out the why. Why? What does that other person have that I don't? And at the end of the day, you know, here I am in my 50s now, it has nothing to do with us. It's just like that person, they were on their own path, but we spend, and I have students that come to me and share their heartfelt personal stories about, professor, what's wrong with me? You know, like, why is this person cheating on me? Mm-hmm. And then they spend an exorbitant amount of energy trying to be better when there's nothing wrong with them in the first place. right? So I think, you know, a lot of times I think, especially, and I don't know, I mean, I have no statistics or no data to base this conversation on, but I think that is a big thing with relationships. It's people when they go outside of the relationship, whether that's the communication. So I know a lot of days now people have open relationships, right? It's like everyone can do, so you don't have this, you know, defined. So, I mean, that's another, you know, people can do that also. And then I also think a lot of people, again, depending on how they're brought up and how they cope with life, how they cope with stress, become addicted, right? And addictions can look like alcohol addictions. So people becoming alcoholics, people turning to drugs, people turning to shopping. There's plenty of people that shop that are actually addicted to shopping, but it doesn't look the same as somebody choosing alcohol. Somebody that can be addicted to school, they're probably elevated in society to say, oh, wow, they have advanced degrees. That could just be an addiction. School can just be fitness, exercise, right? Mm-hmm. Religion, anything can be an addiction. So when you sit back and look at people's, whether it's conscious choices or subconscious choices, people do what makes them feel good. And if it means having a drink, if it means buying a pair of shoes, if it means sleeping, we can, as a society, look at addictions and base it on good or bad or positive and negative, as opposed to just seeing it for an addiction. Mm-hmm. And I think that's another reason why, to answer your question, people have relationships that they get to a point, the communication breaks down. Right. And they just like they start off here together and then it becomes a rift here and a rift there and another rift and another rift and another sleepless night and another night on the couch. And it starts off, you know, everyone's happy go lucky, you know, sleeping together. And before you know it, now you're sleeping with your, you know, facing opposite, and then you're not even in the same space, and then you're not even communicating. And then that resentment builds up to where we're done. Right? We're done. One person's like, you know what? We're done for whatever reason. And the codependents are going to go find another relationship, which is a whole other conversation. And the person left behind is like, how can I be that easily replaceable? How could they even find somebody this quick? But when you look at it, it has nothing to do with you. It's they're probably codependent. Right.
Right. 100% agree.
Yeah. So again, I just, you know, and I'm only speaking from experience. So there's no, again, there's no data, there's no research. It's just from my experience. So I think a lot of times people, as me, my younger self would say, you know what? This person's not for me. I'm going to get divorced or end this relationship. I'm going to go find somebody else. Right. But it's point, you know, maybe our listeners out there will say, then they maybe have therapy, have a coach. Another thing too, and I don't know, this is another interesting point. Mm-hmm. Very early on with relationships, you might get to where that relationship becomes your world. Mm-hmm. So you start disengaging from friends, you start mm-hmm. disengaging from family, and mm-hmm. you put all of your energy into this relationship.
Right.
So when we talk about the word source, right? And some people are religious, you know, God-based, faith-based. Right. Other people's source might be the universe or divine intervention. Mm-hmm. But I think what happens, especially for the codependents, and I was very codependent the first probably, I'm just not even say half my life, a little bit over that time period, where right. we put our energy into another person.
Right.
All our energy. So we don't really have friends. Really have, you know, family. We're putting all of our energy into the relationship. So when that relationship, quote unquote, crumbles, or whatever word you want to hear, was fall apart, break up, mm-hmm. we are finding ourselves isolated. Mm-hmm. And it's harder to get out of that isolation. So my recommendation for listeners out there, Shireen, mm-hmm. is to maintain our own self the best that we can. And the minute we say to ourselves that we want to, quote unquote, fix somebody else, change ourselves, that's when, and you should, these are my lectures in my classroom. It's like, they got to do self-care, self-preservation. I know the buzzword now is self-love, but it's like, if you're waiting for somebody to buy you roses, go buy yourself roses. Mm-hmm. If you're waiting for to, you know, take you out to dinner, go with your friends out to dinner, take yourself out to dinner, mm-hmm. because we sometimes wait our whole life for the magical person to come along. And that's a whole, you know, growing up, as we've, I think we've shared this comments and on other podcasts, you look at the fairy tale, right? Somebody's going to come save us. Somebody on a beautiful horse is going to come in and swoop us up. And you see that with all of the storybooks. And that's what we're told. Right? Yeah. That's what we believe.
Right. Yeah.
And when it doesn't happen, it's like, okay, I'm going to get rid of this person with this horse. And I hope another one comes along and saves me the next time. So I think self-investment, whether it's resources through education. And as you know, as a non-traditional student, for those listeners that don't know me, I started my academic journey as a single mom at the age of 35 years old for my associate's degree. And I will say that education is probably one of the best opportunities to find yourself. Mm-hmm. And some people have the mentality that they don't want to go to school until they know what they want to be. Yeah. And I will challenge any listener, and I know we've had many discussions. I've had this discussion with several students out there, and you know who you are, because sometimes the opportunities through the educational system will give you opportunities that you didn't know existed, because you're only basing your experience from your own individual household, friends, and perspective. Where when you get into an educational opportunity system, you're realizing there's different cultures, different people, different ages, and opportunities, whether it's a study abroad, whether it's something local, volunteering in your own community down your street that you didn't even know existed until you finally heard it, right? So I would say to any listener, if someone's struggling out there with whatever that core belief may be, lack thereof, self-esteem, not feeling good enough, not feeling heard, feeling that the world is against you, feeling that all these trials and tribulations and struggles, yes, they're real, right? But we can step out of our own mind to say, you know what? This is based on my conditioning, and that may not be the truth.
Yeah, right. 100%. Thank you, Tanya, for sharing that. And, you know, it's so important to note that you've got to fill all those empty places first before you enter into a relationship with somebody else. And I encourage you to do that, because if you don't fill those places up that are missing in your life, you're going to expect your partner to do so. Not necessarily conscious of it, but you will eventually, and you'll put a lot of pressure on them, and they'll end up filling those places that they shouldn't. And therefore there goes the confidence, there goes the codependency, as Tanya puts it. Fill those places up with who you are, and first, before committing into any sort of a relationship, so that you can be two separate entities working together on one path, instead of trying to suck each other dry with trying to expect them to fill up what is empty in your own tank. So yeah, I don't know if that makes sense.
Yes. So Shereen, so we've come to the part in our podcast conversation as far as, so what are some things that you do to demonstrate self-love for yourself? What are some things that maybe you like engage in, or, you know, what would you say? How do you demonstrate to where maybe if you want it from somebody else, what are some concrete things that you are doing for yourself?
I'm doing therapy for myself. That's one thing, you know, nothing wrong with finding a therapist. And when you do find a therapist, do it for yourself. Do it for finding forgiveness. And if you're hearing my dog flap her ears, Rolo has just woken up for a very long nap. So
can we see Rolo? Can she come see Mama before she goes for a nap?
Right. No, it looks like she's going to come down the ramp now. So I'll lift her up. She's
on a ramp? She has a ramp?
Yes, she has her own ramp that she gets up and down the bed with. So she's stretching and waking up, and then she'll probably come down there and I'll lift her up for you to see. But so probably the other things that I do is Definitely, I go hiking for the day with my backpack. I get away to the mountains and do some backpacking if necessary. The other things that I like to do is I do wake up and I have meditations in the morning, and I do that to ensure that my mind is in the right place to start the day. Because when I don't spend time doing that, I tend to have my day seems to be off. My day seems to be a little bit weird. So I need to do my meditations and my journaling just to get my head in the right space. Other than that, I think, yeah, I think those are the main things that I do. Just
Okay, if you don't mind me asking, your meditation, what do you mean by meditation? Are you explain what you do? Because I know there's a whole spectrum of meditation. There's guided meditations, there's transcendental meditation, there's different variations. So when you say meditation, what does that mean to you?
So my meditations consist of breathing meditations. I do just focus on what I feel, hear, taste, smell. I try and calm my mind down and listen to my heart beating, just to still my mind for a little bit. And once I've gotten to that point, I get to be appreciative of how much God's helped me through so much. I'm not a religious person, but I am a spiritual person, and I do believe in the historical account of Jesus Christ and what he did for so many people. And he was a pretty rad guy, and he just loved. He spent his entire life sitting with thieves, murderers, and just loving them. And that's a pretty cool example to follow. And he has just been so good to me, and I have no reason to think any way other than that. And the reason why I say I'm not very religious is because I'm not trying to be funny, but one of the biggest problems Jesus had was with the religious people. And so I really have a big problem with what religion does and the religious organizations and the damage that they've done, and still to this day. So I really do have a little bit of a problem with religion. So I don't like, I'm not a religious person in that aspect, but I know I am very spiritual. And so gratefulness, being understanding that there is things in my life that are happening that are out of my control. There's nothing I can do about those bigger things, and all I can do is focus on the things that I can control and the decisions that I can focus on. And so for me, that is really hard, and I'm sure it's hard for many other people, but I can't. It's very draining to try and control those things, but just to get into a mental space knowing that you can't control the big stuff, the little things you can, but also know that you can only do the best that you can with what you have. And that is enough. And that is okay. And we move on. So yeah, that's what I mean by meditation.
By meditation. Okay. Oh,
Yeah.
very nice. Very nice. And a couple of things that I've found over the years that have worked is, so for me, I do meditation. Mine is a silent meditation.
Nice.
And as many listeners out there that know me personally, I started off meditating about 7 years ago, I think is when I started this quote unquote self journey or inspirational journey, is I couldn't even silently quiet myself for 1 minute. I would set the timer, my meditation timer, and I would like open my eyes like 10 seconds in. I'm like, when is this going to be over? And now I can do usually about 22, 25 minutes silent meditation. But as you brought up a good point, I like having a routine, right? That works for me. But sometimes, you know, maybe you sleep in a little bit and you're rushing and you don't get to do the meditation. So what I find now is I can reset myself at any point during the day, any point. So let's just say the morning got ahead of me, right? Maybe I had meetings to go to. I can always, you know what? Let's shut off the electronics, the computer, whether I'm at work, whether I'm home, maybe just go to a space and just do it for 5 minutes or 7 minutes or whatever that looks like. You know, it doesn't mean that I have to go to sleep and sleep the whole night to start fresh tomorrow. I can reset myself throughout the day. And some people might resonate with maybe taking a break, right? Cooling off. If you're at work, things are just kind of off. You know, you had some words, you're not on the same page. You know what? Just go breathe, right? And then, you know, people minimize breathing. I mean, if you think about back to our women conversation, childbirth, I had a C-section, but I did breathe for 22 hours prior to the C-section. Breathing is so important and we minimize it. Like we minimize breathing. And you take a plane, what do they say? You were a cabin crew, right, Shireen? You know, put the mask on you first before you even put it on a child, because unless we are self-caring, we are no good to anyone else. You can't give from the literally like the saucer. You can't. It's you're going to be depleted, right? But so many times we just keep giving, and as women, right, we're like some cultures we're cultured to give, and we just keep giving until we're either physically ill, emotionally ill, spent in every capacity. And then it's like, oh, now I should start taking care of myself, right? I think so. As listeners out there, as we wrap up this podcast, you know, think about it. What are we doing for ourselves? What are we doing for the self-care? What I actually started doing is not waiting for the day the company comes to put out my good stuff, to really start enjoying my stuff. So for example, most of my friends out there know that I like my, it's called Yes to Detox Juices, and I get them. You can check out their website in Florida here. And I love them. It's just a little treat for myself to know that I'm getting fresh juice. It's something good. I love the Body Keeps the Score book. It's one of my favorite for healing traumas and for just exploring our core beliefs that maybe have limited us, and just doing something nice, whether it's when you go to the grocery store and you walk by the floral department. Maybe we don't have $30, or I've seen the prices go up, Shireen, in the States. I don't know about you, but over here, it's, I mean, it's outrageous. Publix had a bouquet of flowers, and it was just like this really simple bouquet. Publix is very popular, a brand for shopping, especially here for, look at little Rolo. Look how beautiful she is. Hello, Rolo. It's Auntie Tanya. Hello.
Oh, sorry, listeners. So if you are listening, just so you know why Tanya stopped in a conversation, and I'm sorry, Tanya, for interrupting you. Rolo is now in the screen with us. So everyone say hello to Rolo.
She's beautiful. She's absolutely beautiful. And we have to have a podcast about Rolo, Shireen. That's what we have to do. I know she's recovered from her injury with her eye, and she's healed, and she's her perfect self. And she's absolutely beautiful.
Absolutely. Sorry, Tanya. Carry on.
No worries, no apologies. So as we conclude this podcast to our listeners, whether they're watching it on YouTube or on the other social media sites, let me ask you, Shireen, where can people find you to learn more, see more? How do we get in touch with you?
Awesome. Well, you'll find me, Shireen Boeta, on LinkedIn. That's where my business is. As well, I do have a website, but you'll find that on LinkedIn. So all the information regarding me is on LinkedIn. So you can find me, Shireen Boeta. That'll be in the show notes. But more importantly, for the supporters of the podcast, you can go to the podcast's website, which is friendsfromwildplaces.buzzsprout.com. That's friendsfromwildplaces.buzzsprout.com. And go and subscribe. Give us some love. You can obviously hear us on all the platforms that you can live stream. Leave us a review. Tell us what you think. We would really appreciate your feedback. Yeah, that's me in a nutshell. What about yourself, Tanya?
Okay, so for the listeners out there, you can probably find me on LinkedIn under Tanya Scotisi. My email and phone number are there. I'm a professor at Miami-Dade College. I oversee the mortuary program for anybody that's interested in changing careers. You can find out my interests, my passion, my mission, and my vision on LinkedIn. Also, to our listeners out there, if you'd like to be a guest on our podcast, feel free to contact either Shireen or myself. If you have a story to share, if you want to, you know, just tell us what has inspired you and what works for you. We are looking to, you know, get everyone's voice heard. So if you are out there saying, you know what, I want to tell my story, give us a call, give us an email, text, and let's get you on the podcast. With that, our friends, Shireen, I'll let you conclude. And it's been an absolute pleasure to spend my morning with you and to have some time to really dive deep into different women's cultures, different perspectives. And at the end of everything, it's all about communication.
Absolutely. Thank you, Tanya. It's always great to have these deep conversations with you. And for the listeners, thank you for listening. And all I can say is, you got this, and stay wild. Bye, guys.
You've been listening to Friends from Wild Places with Shireen Buerta. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast from the links to catch every episode and unleash your passion.